Harry Potter is enrolled in a photography class to learn how to take better dick pics, and his professor is Draco Malfoy?
Jamie Lannister and Brienne of Tarth are directing a Titanic exhibit, and Jon Snow is the security guard?
Tony Stark is producing a dating show on a tropical island, and all the Avengers are the contestants.
There is no way stories like this exist.
And there is no way three best friends would read them and put their reactions out for the world to hear.
I mean, no one would do that, right? Guys?
I'm Allie Lefever.
I'm Lindsay Rush.
I'm Danny Chapman.
And this is Fangasm.
The following podcast is rated H for horny. It contains adult themes, sexually explicit content, strong language, and characters we don't own.
Welcome back to Fangasm. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Allie.
I'm Danny. And this is episode 5 of Ghostbusters, which you know because you clicked on this file. You did this to yourself.
Season 28, episode 5. And I'm talking at a normal volume.
Welcome back, girl.
I was listening, though. It sounded nice and soothing last week.
It was very erotic.
Totally. And props to your microphone.
I know. I was like, wow, bravo.
That might be the right octave for your microphone. You might have been using it wrong this entire time.
You mean screeching into it? It wasn't how it was built? That's weird.
Yeah. The hyena howl might not be what it's built for.
I don't believe it.
I posted this, but I loved that the Ying Yang twins have a song like, whisper little mama, let me whisper in your
ear. Oh, yeah.
And it was one of those inflatables humping a car. It really felt like I was thinking we should call you DeLindsay.
Oh. DeLindsay. What's her like? What does she say after that? Find someone you love. Love someone you love.
Oh, yeah. She does have a tagline.
That I don't remember. I think it's, and now I'm going to play Wind Beneath My Wings. Speaking of Wind Beneath My Wings, we were just talking about when you're listening to this, you have already spent about 100 hours listening to the Dead Poets Society.
Tortured Poets Department.
The Tortured Poets Department. Dad.
The Dead Poets Society. Just on repeat.
By Dewey Leapy.
Lindsay, you were going to bring up a rumor.
Yeah, and I didn't. This is like the worst intro. I was hoping you guys were going to be more informed than I was. I just saw that someone on Threads was mad about the leak. And they were like, stores really need to keep it locked down. But I think then I saw someone else say, like, it's just a lyric leak and that Taylor maybe did that on purpose. But that's all I've heard.
Hold on. What's the lyric leak? Because I feel like I may have seen this.
I don't know. That's what I don't know. People were just mad.
Oh.
I'm hearing a rumor. We can look back on this and this is right or wrong. That Rep, Taylor's version is coming out too. Because apparently, like, right when they're setting up the Tortured Poet Department, right next to it, it's like called Serpentine 2 is on the tag.
Oh.
Ooh.
And she's been saying 2 a lot.
I wonder if she's just, I can't imagine she would cannibalize her own launch and release both, but maybe.
A snake does.
She's a snake eating her own album.
Alleged leaks containing new lyrics from Taylor Swift's upcoming album have hit the internet and have left people divided.
Wait, Lindsay, do you have the lyrics there? And if so, will you do us the honors of trying to sing it without knowing what the sound is?
I do not, and I won't.
To the Ying Yang twins.
I love when people on TikTok try to guess, and they, like, singers, you know, try to do, like, fake, like, they just based off of her track titles. I think that's very funny.
Read the lyric.
I'm going to find it.
It's very exciting. I can't believe that both Bey and Tay, fresh off huge albums and tours, do it one more time right now.
I know.
Because this has to be a joke. This can't be a real lyric. This is the lyric that they say leaked on Twitter X. You smoked, then ate 7 bars of chocolate. We declared Charlie Puth should be a bigger artist. I scratch your head, you fall asleep like a tattooed golden retriever. That seems like satire.
That is not the one I saw.
Charlie Puth should be a bigger artist.
To drop Charlie Puth in the middle of a lyric is so...
Like, a Puth bomb is not what I was expecting. Yeah.
Let's get to the bottom of the Puth.
Very Puthy.
The whole Puth and nothing but the Puth.
I do feel like Charlie Puth was supposed to drop music, and he kind of, like, teased us for a long time, but I don't think I ever got that album. So I agree with these Phantom Taylor lyrics.
This should be true, if not.
You fall asleep like a tattoo golden retriever. What does that even mean, Taylor?
Like a tattoo golden retriever. Does he have tattoos?
But it doesn't even say tattooed. It just says tattoo golden retriever.
I know. That's what doesn't make sense.
I never got poetry. I'm so sorry.
Anyway, me neither. It was an accident. Anyway, we'll have to find out. Yes, by the time this is out, we'll have all the answers and we'll see if Charlie Puth paid to have a
SponCon
sponsored content on Taylor's album.
Maybe Charlie Puth leaked it.
We should leak it and be like, we said Fangasm should be a bigger podcast. You fell asleep like a cock critiquer, a lower back tattoo.
We've had our own Taylor Swift moments where we're like, okay, if you're listening to this on this day, and we said it, you know, 5 years ago, what folks don't know is actually this episode is a continuation of season 3, episode 4, yeah. Minute 18.
Mm-hmm. We're masterminds.
Because it's April 18th when we're recording this, and we're now on season, what season are we on?
28.
Exactly. So anyway, go listen, and this will all make sense.
Because 13 times 2 plus 2, you get it.
This episode is actually the missing episode from that season. So anyway.
If you listen to our whole catalog backwards, you will hear Taylor Swift's album called Karma that they said she was going to release. And Charlie Puth is singing. It's a duet album, actually.
It's so crazy. That's like a Kid Rock, Sheryl Crow number.
She entrusted the three of us with that very special, that very special secret.
Perfect.
I wish. That may happen, but what did happen last week?
Right. I was going to try to connect it to, well, there is about to be something swift, some swift justice against the Sphere. Mm. Because they're going to try to blast it, I guess.
Would we call it poetic justice?
Thank you. The Department of Ghostbusters is going to torture
the Sphere.
The Sphere for poetic justice swiftly. Because the Sphere's powers have really been messing with Janine, Egon, and Peter. Mm-hmm. And they were going to have to like rig it so that they could have all five going at once with just the two of them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't they still have to get the Sphere from Egon, right?
Well, they're waiting for Egon to leave because he has it up in the lab.
Yeah.
And they don't know where Peter is. So I bet you there's going to be, Peter's going to be like, what are you doing?
What the fuck?
I want to see undies.
Show me your boobies.
Hey, is that a Sphere in your underwear or you just happen to see? It is a Sphere. I can tell.
They can't smuggle out anything past Peter.
Peter. I'm kidding. He's got a Sphere in your boxers and you're like, hey.
Okay, let's do it. Is it me today?
It's you, yep.
They continued pretending to tinker on Ecto-1 until finally Egon and Janine came downstairs. Egon was carrying something in his hands, covered with a dark blue towel. Peter followed closely behind them. Ray and Winston looked up. Ray noticed the object Egon was carrying. Hey, Iggy, you headed somewhere? He tried to keep his voice light and casual, but inside he was extremely nervous. Egon's eyebrows arched, a smug grin on his lips. As a matter of fact, yes we are, Raymond. Mm. Winston subtly stepped in front of them, blocking the exit to the door. What you got? Egon sneered. I know you've been doing your own research on the Sphere, Ray. I found the book you tried to hide in the downstairs lab. You must have forgotten how brilliant I was before the Sphere. Now I am three times as smart.
Not three times.
Oh my gosh, no.
If I was three times as smart, I could tie my own shoes.
Smuggle a Sphere under a blue towel.
Yeah. Ray's facial expression fell. Oh, you did, huh? Where are you three taking it? I thought you and Janine were going out. We are, and we're taking the Sphere and Peter with us. Oh, wait. We are, and we're taking the Sphere and Peter with us. Janine announced, her tone laced with bitterness.
And sex appeal.
Just dewy.
Was that bitterness?
I was just watching they do the Broadway where they have everybody sing kind of any song, even if it's kind of the, it's called Miscast, and it's anybody sings of the other gender. And they just had Jinx Monsoon, who's a drag queen, do all the parts of Les Mis One More Day.
Every single
part. Like, Jinx Monsoon as Jean Valjean. Jinx Monsoon as
Cosette, yeah.
And just she obliterated it. It was so good.
Oh, gosh. I have to watch that. That's amazing.
That's what I feel like. Peter stepped forward slightly. Yeah. You see, Ray Spangs found some interesting tidbits in that book of yours. It seems the more physical contact we have with this thing, the stronger our powers get. And personally, I'd like to get laid tonight by a goddess. There's got to be one around here somewhere, and I intend on finding her. He then glared at Winston. And drop the wrench in your hand, Zed. I see it. Like, is Janine not like, what the fuck, I'm a goddess?
Yeah, hi, I'm right here.
Hi, I roll over New Jersey.
You never met a New Jersey goddess?
We're called a goddess with a J.
Goddess. G-I-O.
Winston looked at Ray as he pulled his hand out of his pocket. He was indeed holding a wrench. Oh, he could see the wrench in the pocket.
Oh my gosh.
That puts a real wrench in things.
Yeah. Is that a wrench in your plans?
Is that a wrench in your pocket, or are you trying to steal the sphere? He carefully set it down on the hood of Ecto. You three are getting out of control. Someone needs to put a stop to this. Janine walked up to him, standing toe-to-toe, even though she was quite shorter. And who's going to stop us? You? She quickly grabbed Winston by both arms, lifting him off the floor and effortlessly tossing him across the garage. Ray rushed to aid his friend. Don't be foolish enough to follow us, Egon warned. Then they left the building, headed to Janine's car. Ray helped Winston stand. Are you okay? Yeah, I just got the wind knocked out of me, he replied, taking a few deep breaths to regain his equilibrium.
Deolibrium?
Actually, I think by the time this comes out, her new album might come out. There is new Alipa coming out. And that is new news. See? A well-balanced diet.
A lot of breaking news today, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we can stop them. I wasn't prepared for this. We don't have a choice, Ray, said Winston. They ran to Ecto 1, quickly starting it up and leaving the firehouse. Janine and company weren't that far ahead. Winston was able to catch up with them fairly quickly. He turned on the sirens and flashed his lights at her. Peter was driving as Janine and Egon were in the back with the sphere. Hang on, we got company. He sped up, swerving through traffic like a madman. Ecto 1 was fast on their bumper, not slowing down. I can't lose them, Peter yelled. Do not deviate from our plan, Egon ordered.
Everyone's getting voices. I love it.
Hand me the snacks, said Lindsay.
I was like, yeah, that's right. You guys, I did try the new Doritos flavor. It's cheeseburger.
Oh.
Which is feels truly like flying too close to the sun. But if you like pickles, you're going to like these.
Oh, it's got a pickle flair to it.
Yeah, like that's, it's nice.
Thank God.
What would you mean? It's nice.
I don't know. It's nice.
Do you think it would pair well with a cheeseburger?
Wow.
Didn't expect that question, did you?
Speaking of poetry, this feels too intimate a question for this podcast.
Peter glanced in the rearview mirror. Then put a lid on your libido. Get your hand out of Janine's blouse and tell me exactly what the fuck we're going to do about these two. Are they hooking up in the back seat while they're getting chased?
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
If you can't stand the heat, get out of the getaway car. Jeez. Egon straightened up immediately, a sheepish grin on his face. I forgot he could see that, he whispered to Janine. She cupped his face in her hands, looking directly into his eyes, allowing Egon to read her thoughts. That's all right. We'll get this little matter taken care of. Then we can finish what we started. Egon kissed her passionately, then lingered close to her ear and whispered, oh, yes, I have a few things I'd love to try with you.
Burger Doritos with a burger. Let's try it. Intimacy. That's third base.
Let's take this relationship to the next level.
Janine giggled as she turned to look out the back window. She threw up her middle finger and laughed hysterically. Winston shook his head. She's acting like a damn fool. It's the sphere, Winston. We've got to get it back, shouted Ray. Where are they going? Winston shouted in frustration. Ray rummaged around in the floorboard. In the floorboard.
In the floorboard in Dublin.
Dirty, 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 in the floorboard.
In the flurby, derby, derbird.
I moved that book to Ecto, but Iggy must have found it before I put it in there. Finally, his fingers felt the cloth material of the book's bindings. Got it. He flipped through the pages quickly. Here it is. To increase their powers, they must stay in physical contact with it. We know that already. Where are they headed? Winston asked as he swerved through traffic. Ray looked around, studying their surroundings. Oh my gosh. They're headed to Columbia University on a full ride.
Ride.
They're about to get their MFA.
Not an Ivy League.
Why? Who knows? Knowing Egon, he probably wants to run more extensive tests. What else does that book say? Just what I told you before. Their powers will increase as long as they stay in physical contact with it, and it's going to take heavy concentration of energy to destroy it. So why are they headed to the university? Ray thought for a moment. I have no idea, but I guarantee Egon has thought of something scientific. He's smarter now than he was before. And he was freaking genius already, Winston replied, speeding through traffic. Suddenly, the traffic light turned red. Peter ran the light, narrowly escaping being hit by a delivery truck. Acto One came to a screeching stop. Shit! Winston shouted as he motioned for the driver of the truck to move. The driver mouthed something. Winston couldn't tell what exactly, but he was sure it wasn't polite. He rolled down his window and stuck his head out. Come on, man, we're running sirens and everything. The delivery truck moved and Winston hurried by in Acto One. The driver was still yelling, but Winston ignored him. They were on a mission. Are you sure that's where they're headed? It's my best guess, Ray replied, anxiety etched into his facial features. The traffic jam had given the trio the time they needed to put some distance between them and Acto One. Indeed, they pulled into the university's staff parking lot. Peter parked the car next to the science wing.
Peter parked the car?
You guys, in that trio, who's who of those powers? Super strength, sex ray vision, and reading thoughts. They just called them a trio and we're a trio. I feel like Allie's the mastermind. I feel like Danny's the muscle and I'm the sex ray vision. You're Janine. It's just, those was my gut.
I'll take it.
Okay.
That is the nicest thing anybody's ever said to me.
I'm super horny right now.
I guess. Super horny and super smart.
Yeah, I'm going off camera.
I've been described as that a million times over. So,
Fresh off her Peter Park joke, clearly the genius. They exited the car. Egon led the way, still holding the sphere underneath the towel. Janine followed along with Peter. Are you sure about the spangs? I don't want to end up growing a third nut or anything. Egon spoke firmly. My calculations are correct. I simply do not have the equipment we need at the firehouse. Now, use your x-ray vision to see which of these lab rooms has a centrifuge. Peter walked slightly ahead, staring at the walls as they walked by each room. They had gone halfway down the hall when he stopped suddenly. Here it is. Looks like there's several microscopes, syringes, and stuff, too. Egon smiled at Janine. If you would be so kind. He gestured for her to step to the doorway. Janine smiled back. She grabbed the doorknob and squeezed. The knob, including the padlock, crumbled like dust in her hands.
She's getting really strong.
She then pushed the door slightly with one hand. The door broke free from the hinges and slammed to the floor. Egon led the way as he entered the lab. Janine turned on the lights. Peter watched as Egon prepared syringes and test tubes. Janine sat down on a stool and rolled up her shirt sleeve. As Egon prepared a needle to extract a blood sample, she looked into his eyes. He smiled. It's going to be fine. Don't worry. I would never intentionally hurt you. She smiled and relaxed as he withdrew the blood. Peter sat down next, preparing his arm. Egon took a sample of Peter's blood as well. Lastly, Egon took a sample of his own blood, then hurriedly began mixing some other chemicals together. He kept each sample separate as he combined the chemicals in three separate containers.
Is he going to give them all everyone's power? Like, are they going to have all three each?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. Ay,
ay, ay. Or is he trying to extract the sphere's thing so that he can inject it into other people?
Or like, yeah, they have like a backup maybe too.
Yeah.
Like take some like sphere shavings into it. A little lead poisoning.
Perfect.
Meanwhile, Winston and Ray pulled into the university parking lot. Ray directed him. If this is where they went, Janine's car should be parked over at the science wing. Tell me again why you think they went here, Winston asked. My mind was a little preoccupied back there. Iggy truly has potential now to be a mad scientist. If you had superpowers, what would you think? Winston didn't have to ponder the question long. To be even more powerful and take over the world, or at least that's how the movies go. Exactly, and he has the power to do it now, too. What's all the business about him and Janine, then? That's the other thing I found in the book. The sphere amplifies whatever emotion is strongest at the time the person touches it. Suddenly, everything made sense. Winston nodded, his eyes wide with understanding. Pete's been really down lately about his lack of a love life. Ray agreed. Janine couldn't lift those boxes.
Didn't we already know this? Didn't they already have this epiphany?
I don't think they knew that Janine and him were porking.
Oh, okay.
Then what about Egon? Sure, his intelligence has been boosted, but why the sudden interest in Janine? Ray thought for a moment, then smiled. He must have deep-rooted feelings for her. This just intensified them and gave them the confidence to act on it. Just then, Janine's car caught Ray's attention. There it is. Shut off the lights and engine. As they got out quietly and geared up, Winston looked at Ray. I hope we can get this done without hurting them. Yeah, you and me both, he sadly replied. Winston and Ray were starting to head to the science lab when they were suddenly stopped by a security guard. Hold it. Where are you two headed?
And now the security guard shows up. He didn't hear any of the ruckus before.
Yeah. Not the door being destroyed.
Winston had had about enough for one day. Look, man, in case you hadn't seen the news lately, the olds lately, we're the Ghostbusters. We're here to stop a situation before it gets any worse. I know who you are, but I am not aware of any ghost sightings here. Ray stepped in. Look, I know you're just doing your job, but so are we. We've got three of our colleagues in that building who are under the influence of very dangerous paranormal power. Do you remember what happened at the Shandor building?
Do I? I think we can all agree.
Absolutely.
On the count of three, what happened at the Shandor building? One, two, three. The monkeys escaped.
Total destruction.
Absolutely. Common knowledge.
I do believe what actually happened at the Shandor building is where from Ghostbusters 1, there was the return of Spook Central in Dana's apartment.
Oh, that's what we said.
Is the actual thing that happened.
Same.
Who's Dana?
Dana?
Dana's the name of my grandpa, you guys. He's back. Gramps.
Total destruction of Dana.
Dana was, what's her name, from Ghostbusters 1. She's very famous.
Oh.
The hottie from Ghostbusters 1.
What's her name? I can picture her with curly hair.
Sigourney Beaver.
Yeah.
Oh, the beef, yeah.
Sigourney Weaver lives at that building, and that's where the Temple of Gozar started.
Was Ghostbusters 1 the one with the painting?
No. Well, I don't know. It's the marshmallow, the Stay Puft marshmallow.
Okay.
The guard's expression became uneasy. Yeah, it's going to get that bad here? It will if you don't let us pass, Ray replied urgently. Okay, I'm sorry, guys. Let me know if you need an ambulance or anything. He then hurried off to continue his rounds. He said, I'm out of here.
Yeah, he's like, sweet. Godspeed. Ghost speed.
As they headed towards the lab building, Winston gave Ray a slight pat on the shoulder. That was great, Ray. But do you think it's going to get that bad? Ray grinned. I hope not. I exaggerated a bit. The sphere is powerful, but not that powerful. Honestly, I'm more concerned about what it's doing to Iggy, Janine, and Pete. Meanwhile, in the lab, Egon had completed his potions. He handed Janine and Peter their individual vials while he held his own. This potion will enable us to maintain our new abilities with or without the sphere.
Yep.
We knew it.
Yeah, classic.
Always thinking.
They were about to turn up the vials to drink when Winston and Ray appeared in the doorway. Stop! Ray shouted. Egon laughed evilly. I might have known you two would try to stop us.
What?
You can't, Janine yelled. After I drink this, I'll be stronger than ever. So not intimidating.
That's what I'm like anytime I have wine. Just wait.
Do it! Ray lowered his proton thrower. Janine, wait, he pleaded. Do you honestly think having superhuman strength is the answer? Not being able to lift heavy objects isn't a weakness. Did you ever consider the fact that maybe the reason you're not physically capable of doing things like that is because you're not meant to be that strong? You're meant to be good, kind, and caring. You're meant to nurture, not torture. Tortured Poet Society.
Taylor.
You're a sweet, loving person who wants only to see the best in everybody. If you drink that, you'll never be that way again. Is that what you really want?
And one more thing. Should Charlie Puth be a bigger artist than he is?
Tell us.
We need to know, Janine.
You don't have to be a big artist. You can be Charlie Puth. You can be under the radar, like Charlie.
You can be a medium artist where people know his name but can't name a single song.
And Winston, are you just a tattooed golden retriever trying to fall asleep? Winston saw what Ray was trying to do, so he did the same thing with Peter. Pete, having x-ray vision isn't a blessing. It's a curse. Being able to see through clothes to pick out the most physically desirable women isn't cool, man. It's creepy. Besides, the women who are the best built aren't always the best choices. What a woman has in her heart.
On behalf of me and Allie, who are perfectly built.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Perfect tense here.
What a woman has in her heart is what really matters. I know that's what you really want. Someone who loves you, who truly loves you. Not because of your attractiveness or your clever words, but what's in your heart. Don't drink that potion. It'll only make things worse. Both Peter and Janine looked as if they were torn on what to do.
I'm also laughing because he just negged Janine so badly. It's like all she needs is like a better upper body routine at the gym.
Right. Like she can be strong. She can be strong. Just lift some weights.
Look, spaghetti arms.
You're meant to be weak and feeble
and helpless.
You'll frankly never be able to lift a thing. That's how you were designed.
And that's why people love you. Look, you don't want to see naked people all the time. You really want to have to work for it, don't you, Pete?
Don't you want to emotionally invest in people for months and months and months before their character flaws are revealed
and still have them turn you down?
Tits aren't all that great, man. Both Peter and Janine looked like as if they were torn on what to do. Egon shouted, "Lies! You're trying to destroy the sphere and our abilities." He was preparing to turn his vial upside down up to drink it when Ray took a few steps closer. "Egon, you're already a brilliant scientist. You're ahead of the times. But I think what's really driving you now is the confidence the sphere has given you. You love Janine. You always have. You just weren't confident enough to tell her or show her. She already loves you. You don't need to do this to impress her. Just tell her." Janine's eyes teared up as she looked at Egon. "Is that true?" Egon looked defeated, his eyes searching for hers for the confidence he now needed. "Yes," he replied softly. "I suddenly had the overwhelming confidence in myself that I needed to finally tell you that. I'm frightened. Will you still love me without these abilities?" She reached up with the hand not holding the potion and cupped the side of his face. "Oh, Egon, I will love you forever. With or without this damn sphere or potion." She dropped the vial on the floor, then threw her arms around his neck, pulling him down into a deep, passionate kiss. The vial shattered on the floor, the potion spilling out. Peter threw his vial down onto the floor too. Egon, however, pulled back from Janine and stepped away. "No," he shouted. "You will not take this from me." As he began to lift his vial of potion to his lips.
"Do it! Do it!"
As he began to lift his vial of potion to his lips, Janine lunged forward. She attempted to knock the vial out of Egon's hand, but with her added strength, actually pushed him across the room. He dropped the vial. He stood and watched helplessly while the potion ran out across the floor. Peter ran to grab the sphere. He grabbed it and ran towards Ray and Winston with it. "Here, get rid of it before I change my mind," he said as he shoved the sphere into Ray's hands.
"Oh, no.
And I can see your boner." Ray and Winston were both wearing gloves so as not to be affected. "Come on, Zed, let's get this thing outside." As Ray and Winston took the sphere outside, Peter was right behind them. Janine was holding Egon back in the lab. "What's the plan, guys?" Peter asked as he ran to Ecto-1 to grab his proton pack. "One concentrated shot with the proton throwers," Ray replied. "But we've got to fire them all at the same time." "And exactly how are we going to do that? We're two busters short."
Two busters short of a full... It sounds like an insult when someone's dumb.
This guy's two busters short of a full bust.
Winston answered as they took the sphere to the far side of the empty parking lot. Ray rigged up a couple of remote controls for those two packs. "I have one. He has the other." "Yeah, I actually fixed three, but since you're back on our side, we only need two," Ray added. "Let's do it. I'm not sure how long Janine can hold Spangs back." Meanwhile, back in the lab, Janine was struggling to keep her hold on Egon's arms. She was trying to restrain him without hurting him. She nearly broke his wrist when she knocked the vial out of his hand. Aww. Egon kept screaming at her, "You don't understand! I could make our lives so much better!" "No, Egon, honey, you can't. Not like this. It's not helping make our lives better. It's complicating it. I almost broke your wrist. I can't touch you without hurting you." Tears ran over her cheeks as she pleaded for Egon to see reason. Just then, a bright light shone outside. The glass in the windows on the far end of the building shattered from the blast. Car alarms could be heard from nearby. The blast shook the walls.
The security guard had called the ambulance.
A bunch of crazy teens were using laser pointers.
A bunch of Ivy League undergrads were on the
on the loose.
You guys, sometimes we interrupt this like mid-coitus, but this is like mid-battle, end of the chapter.
And that's the end of the episode, yeah.
End of the episode.
Woo.
Wow.
My heart is racing. Are they all going to die?
I know. This is action-packed.
It is.
Okay. When the episode ends, check your underpants. Is your
PK high or low?
Whoa.
Danny, where's your PKE?
I mean, yeah, off the charts. I just like love the pacing of the story that they like kind of got the powers and now it's like overtaking them. And, you know, I love context and plot. So I just love what's happening. And even like the little feeler upper in the back seat. This episode had it all.
Lynn?
Nothing good starts in the getaway car.
Oh, what? Lindsay, that's from Reputation.
Oh, yeah.
That is a good little drop.
That's perfect. I knew that. Wow. No, I loved all this action. It's almost as good as the other kind of action that we got in the lab. And yeah, I'm just excited to see what happens. I feel like poor Egon. Egon's taking it the hardest. That's what happens when you're too smart. That's why I stay just medium. That's why I'm not learning anything anymore, personally. That's the safest thing. No, my PKE is high. And is this the final episode is next week?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the penultimate.
Penis ultimate.
Allie.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm a 6.9 on the PKE. Oh, boy. Yeah, this is wild. I just wrote as our episode title, Getting Action-Packed. I don't know if we've made that joke before or we've had that episode title before, but...
But what about Getting Proton-Packed? Getting Action-Proton-Packed? Can we add both in? I like it.
Double the pun, double the fun. That's our motto.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
I would say my poet is tortured right now, so...
That sounds, you know how the synonym for like jacking off, there's like a lot of funny ones. It's torturing his poet, sounds like.
It does. Torturing his purple-headed poet.
So good.
Sorry, Allie, keep going.
No, that's it. I mean, what a hoot. Yeah, Egon is off the rails. I can't believe that he's having to be restrained because he's, I don't know, that sounds like maybe the reaction the three of us would have to.
Allie, put it down.
You don't understand.
Well, tune in next week. You'll just hit pause on the Tortured Poet Department to re-listen to this. Next Tuesday will be the final episode. And just love Busters. What a fantastic story. We're having such a blast. A bust.
Mm-hmm.
You're busting us. We're busted.
I was trying to find the Delilah. Love someone. I think they just say love someone. Delilah.
DeLindsay.
Dorito, cheeseburger.
These are the days of our lives. Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys. See you next week.
Peace. For an extra dose of bonkers entertainment, join our Patreon, where you can access hundreds of hours of unreleased content and bonus episodes featuring your favorite fandoms, plus the ones we'd never dare to read on the pod. Head to patreon.com/fangasm to get in on the action.
For a regular hookup, make sure to subscribe to the show everywhere you listen. And if we've left you satisfied, ew, leave a 5-star review or higher.
For updates, merch, or to submit a story, visit fangasmpodcast.com. And thanks to thousands of other listeners, the fun never sleeps over on our private Facebook group, The Fanny Pack. Click the link in the show notes to join. Once you're in, check out the 20-plus listener-led groups that cover everything from pets to pot to pen pals.